Warren Buffett said, there comes a time when you ought to start doing what you want. Take a job that you love. You'll jump out of bed in the morning. And I think you're out of your mind if you keep taking jobs that you don't like because you think it will look good on your resume. Isn't that a little like saving up sex for your old age? Welcome back to the MCP. My name is Rick Alexander. You can follow me at @RickAlexander_. If you want to interact with the show on Instagram, that's probably the best way to do that. Share it with your friends, of course, if you're getting value from this. And if you are, it would mean the world to me if you would head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Today, I want to break down a common division in advice that you'll hear. If there's anything I found in this life, it's that people love to draw lines and then choose a side of the line to create their life. Insecure people will try to convince you of their side of the line. I think wise people will lay out the facts and then let you decide where you should stand. When you find that you're back and forth on different subjects, people consider you to be a flip-flopper or untrustworthy. And as I've embarked on my own journey, what I've noticed is that truth is pretty uninterested in the lines that we draw. The truth in any situation usually holds a little bit of knowledge from either side of any argument, has no allegiance to ideals or agendas. Given this fact, if truth is what we're after, it's being wrong that we have to get comfortable with. For one thing, things look different based on where you're standing. As your point changes and your view changes, so does the necessity to update the information that you're using to navigate the world. And so today, when it comes to advice from the personal development space, what you'll hear is all sorts of differing views on whether or not you should consider what you're passionate about when it comes to crafting a life for yourself. For example, should you be passionate about your job and the work that you do? Maybe that's something you've reflected on in the past, maybe not, now would be a good time. I Googled, should you follow your passion in life, just to see what the most popular opinions on the topic might be. As I could have guessed, you'll see alternating sides of the line as you go down the search page. The first result is 11 reasons why you should follow your passion by a site called Wonderless Worker. Probably could have guessed their stance, I guess. The next article is Forbes, and it's titled, Why Following Your Passion is Dead. Number 3 on the same page, Why Following Your Passion is Good for You, by the New York Times. And number 4, Why Follow Your Passion Advice Could Make You Less Successful. And the list basically continues on like this for as long as the Google search pages go, eternally, I think, just going back and forth. But the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I already knew what the results would be because this is the mind of the average citizen in Western culture. We swing wildly between who we are and who we want to be, what we want to do and what we think is expected of us, what would be fulfilling and what would provide safety and security. And then we seek advice. And as we look for advice, we see this. Here are the sides of the line, read the arguments, and then make your choice. Only it's always professional writers and speakers who are well-versed in persuasion that are making the argument, so they're both going to sound convincing. You, as the one in the middle, will find points in either argument that appeal to you most likely. Whatever you're trying to decide on will still feel like you're no closer to an answer after you weigh all of the appropriate options. I know this because I've straddled the line of indecision for years in the past. I remember feeling as though it was time to leave the military, and although I had good job offers, and that's good by arbitrary standards that aren't my own, just good by what everybody else told me, no matter how many pro and con lists I made, I still felt stuck. Typically, in this case, we don't want either road, but because we haven't been taught to pivot toward our value set, we're left with a minimal amount of meaning as we're basically hoping that one of our options may have some overlap with our intrinsic values. As I said, both sides will look appealing because truth doesn't care about opinions. It's actually closer to an amalgamation of everything. And that's almost always true. You can see this with a simple social experiment. The first episode of Mind Games in season 5 had 20 people try to guess the number of gumballs in a machine. Of course, no one was even close. Yet when a 9-year-old kid with a calculator averaged out their guesses, the average ended up being within like 40 gumballs of the right answer. Astonishing when you consider the thousands that were actually there. The truth, it appears, is always somewhere in the middle of our wild claims and our absolute language. Okay, so back to our original question. Should you pursue a life of passion? Something you'll notice in my writing, especially my newest book, is that I do my best to always define terms that we're using. This is because what I find is that it's foolish to assume that we're all talking about the same things when we all come from different places, different beliefs, and most importantly, different value systems. Depending on what you value will contribute to your understanding of anything, especially something as polarizing as passion. For example, if you value structure and stability higher than I do, and if you test higher for the personality trait conscientiousness, it's almost guaranteed that your perspective of passion will be much more negative than mine will. Just the word itself will mean different things based on your innate personality, not to mention your upbringing. So I'm really high in the personality trait openness. And so my openness to following passion is going to be much higher, especially because I devalue things like structure and stability, and I do value things like meaning and fulfillment. And our value system is always a hierarchy. So that's something to consider. And side note, because I love these, if you're wondering why I take the time to break things like this down, it's because I've seen that almost everything that we fight about in this life is misunderstanding. We actually all want the same thing. But if we don't take the time to understand what the hell we're fighting about, it'll be impossible to find any kind of middle ground. In fact, when you're arguing, you should ask yourself, do I want to be right or do I want to find a solution? You may find that those aren't the same thing. And so passion is a term that we often mistake. In fact, all of the articles did. Most people thinking that it's simply something that we feel compelled toward. But if you do just live your life based on compulsion alone, you're going to end up in a pretty undesirable state. If you read articles on something such as passion, and none of those take the time to break down the actual term that you're talking about, what you're left with are platitudes that have very little value in your actual life. This is why we're often left to confusion and why our pro and con lists rarely work and why no matter how much you think about it, you aren't going to feel any closer to an answer. This is why I'm breaking down thinking as a skill in one of my talks this year. We have to know how to think about these things if we want to get anywhere productive. So then, what is passion? While most of us mistake it for enthusiasm in the 21st century, its original meaning is actually a willingness to suffer for what you love. Perhaps all of the articles I found on passion should say, should you do what you're excited about? Because that's really how they were written. To this, I would say, nah, we're better than that. Excitement is fleeting at best. If you learn to notice the thoughts you have instead of being entrenched in them, what you'll notice is that excitement comes and goes. It's like weather dependent in that way. You can be excited about things that you're passionate about, but you certainly aren't willing to suffer for everything that you're excited about. One of the earliest pieces of wisdom that's been passed down through generations is the inherent aspect of suffering that is inextricably linked with life itself. In fact, the first noble truth of Buddhism is that life itself is characterized by a constant presence of suffering. This doesn't mean that you're always in despair, but it does mean that you're always contending with what you don't have, where you aren't, and what you're not. For those of you that remember my episode on awareness at the beginning of this channel, you know that our suffering is a byproduct of our finite awareness. There's a really good Zen koan that talks about a monk who was new to a monastery. After a few months of study, he noticed the difference in treatment of the various monks. The new ones had to eat after the old ones, and there was rarely enough to go around, like enough food. And the older monks were given a comfortable pillow to sit on, while the new ones sat Indian style on the dirt. After beginning to feel fed up with the unfair treatment, the newest monk went to the headmaster and voiced his complaints. The headmaster looked at him and said simply, "Right now, what you're experiencing is new monk suffering. But after you've been here for a while, then you'll experience old monk suffering." The point here is that we can often think that we're the only ones who are feeling the way that we do. This is one of the greatest lies of pain, that we're alone in it. This is also why it's important to talk about what's wrong, because we find community in our pain and connection and what we thought was isolating. We also tend to feel like it is our particular circumstances that contribute to our pain, and if we could just fix our circumstances, then our pain might be solved. But this is never true. What we do is trade our problems in for new ones. This is why CEOs of major corporations still kill themselves, the greatest world leaders still have people that hate them, and Britney Spears shaved her head back in 2007. Because no one is immune to the shadows of their success. Again, we trade the problems we have for new problems when we get into new situations. Perhaps a more accurate question might be, instead of, should you follow your passion, is, what are you willing to suffer for? What problems are you willing to take on? If you were to look at the world this way, you'd be far less likely to be blindsided when it's not what you thought or when you get there and the greener grass still has plenty of cow shit to step in. When getting out of the military, I couldn't decide between taking a job for the State Department or this financial institution. And I wouldn't have taken a lifestyle hit if I took either of those, but the problems I would have incurred would have probably resulted from a lack of meaning and a lack of enthusiasm for my work. I felt that quite often in the career I had in the military. So I decided that I would solve that problem and take on the problems associated with not being entirely sure where the money was going to come from. And as I began to solve that problem, I found that I could quite easily do it. I could generate that money, but then I was beginning to sacrifice my time. And I rarely felt centered and on top of my life as I began to say yes to more and more commitments. And so you see, the work you do is actually characterized by the set of problems that you're willing to solve. When it comes to what you should do with your life, you're far better off asking, what game am I playing? This tells you how to define success, i.e. whether it's money or meaning or impact or whatever you're looking for. And then the next question you should ask yourself is, what price am I willing to pay for that success? No matter what you do, you're left with a price to pay. Lots of people have stability and the price they pay is in meaning and fulfillment. Other people have those and the price they pay is that they can't really pay the price of whatever they want. Like they literally have to sort everything from the lowest to highest in price. We've all felt that. The one thing I'll say is that your problem should evolve. Otherwise, you aren't actively working through and for what you want, you're settling. And that's a price I'd never ask anyone to pay. Mostly because we have one life and we can't afford the apathy that comes with it. Maybe the real question you're asking is, should you do something for love or for money? I've made both choices. And what I'd say to that is, if you look around, lots of people make tons of money all day and still find plenty of reason to dislike and regret their lives. I can't say the same for anyone who spends their time making love. Speaking of, I love you. Have an amazing week and we'll talk Wednesday on Morning Coffee.